Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is from our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 10, especially that first verse. And after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. This is our text. So, how well do you follow instructions? I know, for a guy to pick up a set of instructions and follow them to put something together, that's basically grounds to take away his man card. But there are times when it just needs to be done. I think I was back in the sixth grade, and our teacher gave us this two-page assignment. And on the very top of the page, in big bold letters, it said something along the lines of, read the entire assignment before doing anything. And below that, there were some pretty difficult problems to solve. There were some math problems, there were some science problems, there were some other problems, and they were all pretty difficult for a sixth grader to do. Well, contrary to my normal tendency, I followed those instructions for once, and I read through the entire front page, turned it over, read the whole second page and all the problems that were on there, and at the very bottom of the second page, it said something along the lines of, sign your name on the top of the front page and do nothing else. You see, it wasn't a test to see how smart we were. It was a test to see how well we followed instructions. Well, in our gospel lesson for today, we see Jesus giving 72 disciples some very detailed instructions on what he wanted them to do. Our Lord sent out 36 pairs of people, two by two, to all the towns and villages that he was going to visit as he journeyed to Jerusalem. Jesus begins his instructions by saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the very first step, the very first instructions he gives them is to pray. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then only after praying are they to go. They are to go out as lambs among wolves. And after that, his instructions get very, very specific. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, these instructions tell us a few things about this mission. First off, by not taking any provisions, they are showing their trust in God. Can you imagine going on a vacation without making reservations, without suitcases, without money in your pockets? That would be totally unthinkable for us. That would take a lot of trust in God for us. But this is not a vacation. This is a Jesus-sanctioned mission. And if Jesus sends you on a mission, then you better do exactly as it says. Trust his instructions. Because how can you share your message with people and expect them to trust in Jesus if you don't trust in Jesus and the instructions that he gave you? So by going empty-handed, as they were instructed, they were showing their trust in Jesus and in his Father. Next, Jesus tells them to greet no one on the road. That's hard for us to understand because, you know, we travel around in cars all the time where we're all enclosed and we can't have any conversations with anybody else. But they did 99% of their traveling on foot. And it was part of their culture. It was part of their DNA. It was just what they did. They greeted people and they would have lengthy, lengthy conversations with the people they met on the road. It was their custom to stop and to talk to people along the way. But Jesus' mission, that was of first importance because eternal life was on the line. And in a few short months, Jesus was going to be hanging on the cross for our salvation. So his time of teaching, his time of being able to teach people was limited. So to show that the mission was so important, to show that they needed to be focused on the task at hand, they were told to greet no one on the road. And while as Jesus is sending them out as lambs among wolves, the message that they were to share was simple. The kingdom of God has come near to you. In other words, as Jesus was planning on visiting those same towns, Jesus was bringing the kingdom of God with him. Jesus was and still is the kingdom of God. In fact, in just carrying that message, those disciples were in fact bringing the kingdom of God with themselves. When they got there and shared the message that the kingdom of God was near, the kingdom of God in fact was already arriving there. Because any time the gospel is preached and any time the sacraments are administered, God's kingdom is there. So as we gather for worship today, the kingdom of God is here. As you sit at home and open up the portals of prayer, the kingdom of God is there with you. Wherever you go as a Christian, you are taking the kingdom of God with you. Now, when I was a young guy, going through confirmation class and going through Sunday school and going to church, when a text like today's text came up, I left church feeling guilty. Can you imagine that? I would feel guilty because I had no clue how to go out and tell people about God. I would read through a text like today and say, well, I'm not going around town telling people about the kingdom of God. I'm not going from village to village telling people about the kingdom of God. And so I would leave church feeling guilty that day. The fact of the matter is, I wish I had taken a closer look at this lesson back then, because if you look at this lesson correctly and properly, You'll understand that this text is not a set of instructions telling us that we're all supposed to go from town to town without any money and without a knapsack to tell them about the kingdom of God. And the reason I know that is because of the very first sentence of our text for today. Luke writes, "The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him." The important word, the key word in that sentence is the word appointed. You see, Jesus appointed those specific people at that very specific time to visit 36 very specific cities that he himself would go visit in the next few weeks. This isn't a command for us to go around and visit town after town and tell them about the kingdom of God. This is a historical narrative to tell us what happened in the past. You see, our instruction and our great commission comes from the Great Commission in Matthew 28, We are part of the priesthood of all believers who, yes, share in the task of baptizing and teaching those around us. You see, not everyone is called to be an evangelist. Not everyone is called to be a preacher. Not everyone is called to be a teacher. But we are all called to share our personal experiences with God's activity in our lives with those around us. And again, the first step in doing that is to pray. Pray for the opportunity. Pray for the right words to use. Pray, pray, pray. But you have no need to feel guilty if you aren't holding Billy Graham-type crusades. You weren't appointed for that. You were simply appointed to serve God where you are right now. Two final thoughts. While we see Jesus prepare these 36 pairs of people for the worst, it doesn't really seem like they had to shake the dust off their feet at anyone. Luke tells us that the 72 returned with joy. So it seems like their mission was successful. Jesus solidifies that idea when he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And so it seems very likely that they followed Jesus' instructions and they were very successful in their mission. But that's not the exciting part of our text for today. The most important part of our text and what we should really get excited about are the last eight words in our lesson for today. Jesus says, "Rejoice. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So even though we are sinners, even though we let God down every single day, even though we do miss opportunities to tell people about the kingdom of God, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we stand forgiven. Oh yeah, we make mistakes. There are more times when we don't follow God's instructions than when we do. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, God Himself has written our names in heaven. Think about this. The same finger that wrote those Ten Commandments on those stone tablets on Mount Sinai so long ago, that same finger has written your name in heaven. And the same hands that were pierced on the cross, those hands have written your name in heaven. So to every day and today, we can rejoice that our names are written in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.